Welcome to Punta Vista. This is a bonus episode. I am Ben, and I am here at the social event of the season, Lady Norrisham's Spring Turnabout. From the noblest peers to the lowliest pauper, it seems like just about everyone in Hadringhamshire has come out in their finest to celebrate the changing of the seasons and, yes, catch up on the latest society rumours and gossip. A subtle hush falls over the crowd as the latest couple to arrive at the party arrives. Surely that can't be the Duke Coningsley arm in arm with the young Miss Daly, even though he's promised to Miss Evers. Even if this is a friendly gesture, he must know what this signals. Miss Daly must be scandalised. Oh, I hope he can explain himself. It's Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hello, I'm scandalised. Or am I explaining myself?
You are scandalising. You're explaining yourself. Yes.
I'm so scandalous.
Yeah.
I'm a scandalous bitch.
Yep.
I'm serving. Is that?
I guess.
Well, I guess so.
That's not implied in anything that I said.
You
might be eating.
Stroking granddad's hair.
Yes. Yes, you are.
You are surfing, people.
Mimo thinks I'm serving.
Sure she does.
Oh no, scandal looms again as the widowed Mrs. Rathdowney is seemingly in her cups again, having hit the sherry with quite some ardour. Mrs. Rathdowney, what have you got yourself into? It's Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Hello.
Yeah, you're like a drunk old lady.
I drink sherry.
Aren't really important. We can sort of power through those. You guys don't really have to improvise or anything. I'm putting all of the comedy on Tom. I want to make him the spotlight. I want him to be the centre of attention, the focus. But what's this? Lord Harrogate? Returned from the war already? And my, he's just ever so dashing. Seems like every head has turned towards him as he crosses the threshold. Framed against the door this way, he looks so... Uh-oh. He seems to have slipped on a single grape someone carelessly dropped on the ground. Oh, thank goodness. He seems to have steadied himself on the silverware table. Uh-oh. The silverware table is tipping over. Lord Harrogate is grabbing at handfuls of forks for purchase, but is falling to the ground once more. Oh, thank goodness. Mr. Turner is there to steady Lord Harrogate before he falls. Oh, no. Mr. Turner appears to have grabbed Lord Harrogate by the belt loop and has torn off his trousers. Oh, thank goodness. He was wearing underpants. Oh, no. In the act of trying to catch his pants while still holding handfuls of forks, he's caught his undergarments and torn them off, revealing a quite red, semi-erect penis in a chastity cage. What a to-do. It's Tom Walker. Hi, Tom.
Hello. It's normal for me to wear this. My doctor said I have to. They put this on me in the war, and I came back looking for a key.
I think you could probably get away with that, I feel, in whatever time period this is. Just being like, oh, it's medicinal. The latest talk in London.
The king gave me this.
He insisted I wear it, and I would hate to disappoint James.
Yeah, well, if the king gave him it.
It must be real. Good improv, everyone. We smashed it.
My penis is in a cage.
Yes. Well done. It's really hard to make up more of these. I don't think the listener understands. Although I believe we got an email from Tom here. Let's just see. Tom Walker.
Open it up.
Full screen.
Intro pitches.
Enhance.
Here we go. This is from Valentine's Day of this year.
No, it wasn't.
It was. 3:24 on Tuesday, the 14th of February.
Okay, well, I know which 3:24 it was. I wasn't. Yes.
Hey, I think you guys asked for this a while back.
Fuck.
I've been having trouble sleeping, and I vaguely remember hearing that and then being like, fuck it, I'll send in intro pictures. Anyway, here they are. Sorry. Nice. Preemptive apology. Intro host is opening a pack of Magic the Gathering 30th anniversary cards. These cost $1,500 for 4 15-card packs. That's AU. They need a break. They bought these cards because they have the money to throw around and were thinking of it as an investment. The cards have value and also, wow, artifacts from your youth. They describe their dismay as they see the cards, brackets, other hosts, which are worthless and bring into question not only what they've done, but what they've been doing all this time.
Yeah, a lot of these are pretty dark.
Yeah.
A lot of these you're going to find have an underlying amount of ennui.
They seem very specific to, well, someone's life.
And, are we going to sling those arrows?
Hey, I've never had any regrets about the dumb bullshit that I have purchased.
Well, yeah, I know.
What cost $1,500?
Also, I should say, before we move on from card chat, I was mad at the... So I did order those American named athletes for Ben.
Oh, that's right. You're mad at Diane.
I'm mad at Diane. Shopper Diane fucked me. She fucked me. For one thing, she charged me far too much for shipping and then said, there's nothing I can do. And there's something she could do. But she also did not send my Tater Porter card.
I wanted Tater Porter. Once I found out about Tater Porter, I'm quite mad I didn't get him.
Or the press pass rodeo clown Flint Rasmussen.
Damn.
Who is pictured doing a jumping splits.
There's nothing Diane can do, or there's nothing Diane wants to do?
She didn't fucking want to.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I think she is an eBay seller who has seen the sale leave and is feeling fine.
My work here is done.
How did she not? What was the confusion with her bundling all the orders together? She seemed very...
She sounded confused, yeah.
Yes, I think it's maybe the first time anyone has ever bought anything from her.
Yeah.
I think that might be the reason for her being confused as to why someone would buy the Tyson Gay Olympic card and also the Hoyt Corkins poker card.
Hoyt Corkins is incredible.
It's so good.
We're just big gay heads. We love Tyson Gay. It's not for comedy purposes. But you're not getting out of me reading this email. I'm
Stop
afraid.
It.
No, it's we have a segment. Through.
We have a segment coming up, and it's about Americans.
Yep.
Or
he has listened to the show before.
Ah, you got shit.
It. You've done your research.
Oh, there's mystery liquid.
Sorry, you've given me a link here to. It sort of simulates the draft of buying one of those packs, I believe. So it gives you an assortment of 15 cards. I think Iron Root Tree Folk would be good for Ben. That's very true. Raised Dead Skeleton is Andrew, I think. Lucy is the cool dude getting paralyzed. And Theo is the guy getting fucked up in Stone Rain. This is another one, I think. Intro host has been buried alive, but is totally okay with it. It's completely peaceful in the coffin. And you know what?
Jesus Christ.
They can finally be alone with themselves. They look to their left and the left wall of the coffin. Well, that might be the right wall of the coffin, depending on if you're standing at the foot of the coffin or not. It's the next host. Other hosts are also coffin walls.
Yeah, this one was one where you're buried alive and the other host would play the walls of the coffin.
Oh, except for one person is a lovely bone that slowly exits their body as intro host begins to decay, still smiling. Yep. It's 2004 and the intro host is an appropriate age, clicking around on newgrounds.com and choosing what they're going to imprint on to have their personality be for the next 3 months /5 years. It's a sliding doors moment. The other hosts are the various thumbnails on the page. For example, Salad Fingers Episode 3, the weirdest cartoon on the web, continues to freak me out. Oh, no.
What is? I feel like Newgrounds is going to bring up a lot of sense memories for
you
anyone
just
of...
Unlocked a deeply uncomfortable memory for me.
Salad Fingers?
Orgasm Girl. That's right. You play the role of an angel who gives girls orgasms.
Oh.
I'm going to say I came across that as like a 14-year-old. And weird time.
Lucy just said Salad Fingers with a question mark at the end.
What? I mean, it's salad. No. I know about Salad Fingers.
Oh.
Yeah, you kind of have the whole... Invader Zim kind of moment.
As far as
life.
I recall, Lucy and Mr. Fingers were an item for a time.
That is true.
It's the talk of the town.
We were the talk of the town. And I was underage.
He always had such a good vibe. No.
It's always the good ones.
Yeah.
The good ones. Where were we? Kung Fu by Weeble, which was the number one movie submitted through the portal on that day. Oh my God, I'm typing this as I read through the rest of the page. The post on here is a guy asking Newgrounds to help him get his characters on TV because he separated from his wife last night. Fuck. That is grim.
I was brought to feel some very real emotions by accessing an internet archive of Newgrounds.com.
Internet really is an amazing tool for learning stuff.
It really is good.
Okay, just Googled him some more, and now he's buying synths, has a personal website doing creative stuff, still has an Instagram/Etsy account where he makes custom-cut paper snowflakes, so I hope he's happy.
All right, well, I was going through some stuff with the email. We can move on.
That's nice. No, we're reading this verbatim.
No, it's so long.
No, we're almost done. We're so close to the end. Oh, the name of the series he made back then was, oh.
Yes.
R-worded animal babies, never mind.
He was trying to get R-worded animal babies on TV because his wife had divorced him and he needed a win.
This is 2004, right?
Yep.
So the song known as Let's Get It Started Now was released about a year before that, I think.
What would be the plot of that show, do we think, of R-worded animal babies? Who could say? It's impossible to know.
Maybe they're in New York and they're kind of finding their feet.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're having some difficulties.
Yeah.
Because of how they are. Also, his Patreon is him just adding lasers to cats, as he claims to be the first person to do it.
Yeah, I was doing a deep dive on this guy.
You got another one here. Intro host is a giant pumpkin and the other hosts are elephants.
I watched a video where
a video.
Some, yeah, I watched a video where some look, I was dealing with insomnia. All right. I was going through, I'd bought some stuff that I thought was gonna help me sleep, and it turns out that it only gave me incredibly vivid dreams or kept me awake forever. And so both of those things were turning me into some kind of monster. And so I was watching a lot of videos of like elephants eating giant pumpkins.
Did it help?
Didn't hurt.
Oh, that's sorry, two more. Intro host is one of either of these. The featured streamers on an incognito window of twitch.tv or the front page of youtube.com. They are fabulously wealthy. And guess what? The other hosts, the other thumbnails. To get the inspiration for this, just open up an incognito window and go to YouTube or Twitch, popular websites.
Have you done that ever?
No.
I'm doing it right now.
No, I never
I've done
would.
It on
no,
YouTube.
I haven't.
I'm looking at Twitch. Hold on.
I've opened up YouTube and I've got Mark Rober, who is a person who I've never seen in my life before. They have a video that was uploaded 10 days ago and it has 15 million views. And the video is World's Smallest Nerf Gun Shoots an Ant.
I mean, I'm curious.
Hey, leave him alone. leave that little guy alone. He didn't do nothing to nobody.
Yeah, it better be like the same scale to the ant that a Nerf dart is to a man.
Mm.
Like, because if it's an ant-sized Nerf dart, I believe that's a technical term for them, then you're just demolishing that ant. That's not fair.
I do believe that it is a tiny ant-scale Nerf gun and dart.
That's very cute. My front page is heinous. There's a promoted Mr. Beast video. There's something fascinating about a 300-year-old pump. There is a comedian's stand-up video thing with the title, Don't Get Cocky in Australia, and then he's sort of squatting on the stage and there are two big arrows pointing to him and it says, don't do this.
That's good advice.
Yeah,
that's the first thing they teach you at clown college.
Do not do that. And finally, intro host is under anesthetic to undergo life-saving surgery. They are completely unconscious. The surgery is a success. Unbeknownst to them, the first host is the surgeon who, as a little value add, is adding breast enhancements in because you know what? The surgery finished up early and they have the time. The breasts are gorgeous. Perfect.
Even is this room, not a real intro that we did?
It's very close so far.
This was sent in February.
Yeah, this. If you might have pipped Theo on this one.
I guess me and Theo were thinking about gigantic, beautiful tits.
I would never accuse Theo of that. When he does a weirdly horny intro, I think it's completely disconnected from his personal
It's
thoughts.
Totally ironic.
Yes.
Don't read anything into it. The breasts are gorgeous, perfect. Even in the room, everyone is nodding their heads at them and going, damn. Second host is the nurse, brackets male, who is switching out the breast enhancements, unbeknownst to the surgeon, from D's to double D's out of the goodness of their heart. They'll make up the difference via their paycheck. The DDs are in, the double D's are in, and they look so good. Third host is picking out a pair of deluxe nipples to put on the titties. And that concludes Tom's email. We should call this episode Tom's email.
No.
And then see if we can get it to the top of the SEO for if you Google Tom's email podcast.
I mean, that's fine. You know, you're just taking the only thing you're pipping in the SEO is the episode of our podcast where I emailed the miniature horse.
It's
people.
Such an incredible episode, Tom. I listened to it twice back to back. That segment. I was driving home from Bolf and I was nearly crying in the car. That was a staggering work of art.
Thank you. Check out the song. Check out the episode of BigSoftTitty.png, Tom's email, I guess, everybody.
Please do. He really captured the nuances of how a mini enthusiast would talk, or at least how I assume that they would talk. That concludes the part of this where we just read out an email that you sent us.
I liked it.
8 months ago.
Yep.
What else have we got, Andrew?
I thought I would fling open the old doors to the motherfucking mailbag, because it had been a while, and also we needed something to talk about.
There are doors to the mailbag.
Yep.
It's big.
You heard me. It's a big one. It's a mailbox bag.
It's a mail room.
To walk in.
Throwing open the doors to the mail room box bag. That's right. It's the Bunta Vista Hotline mailbag. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. You can send us an email. Mailbag@buntavista.com. Maybe DM us on Twitter. You could even message Facebook, but we don't really check the Facebook. Yeah. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. 1-800-317-515. That's the Bunta Vista Hotline. That's right. Sometimes we let you ask us questions. You ask, we decide, then report, and then you also decide on what we've reported.
Correct.
I guess we ask also, like, hey, what do you think of our deciding?
Yes.
So it's ask, report, ask, decide, report, decide, ask.
Yep. And then you get to decide.
You say that you liked it, and then we say, really? Did you?
And you report it back to us.
And we can tell you're being kind.
Yeah.
When you say that.
Yes. This is from Cynthia. This one is for Tom.
Fuck.
Out of all of the penis injury alerts that played on your stream, which was your favorite?
Oh, man. Okay, so I set up a alert on the stream. Have you guys ever looked at the NEISS, the consumer-facing kind of injury database?
No.
So America releases, like, the American government every year releases a huge spreadsheet of injuries that have occurred over the previous year. And that spreadsheet is like taken from a representative amount of hospitals in the US. It's not every hospital, but every demographically important hospital will have a staffer who enters at the end of the day all the injuries that came in to the emergency room into the database. And then every year that gets released.
Owie.
Yeah, and but like, you know, it's all like consumer safety stuff, so they can tell, like, oh, ladders are really doing it to people this year. And so anyway, I have that, and I set it up so that on my stream you could cheer 200 bits, and you would, which is like two American dollars, and you would get given a random penis injury from that report. And I think my favorite, I think, is going to be either the brevity of patient shot in penis with blow dart, or there was one where a guy was standing outside and he was standing, it was like a snowy day, I think, and he was standing outside minding his own business, and a truck drove by and hit the handle of a shovel that was lying on the ground, and the shovel swung up and hit him in the nuts.
No, it didn't.
It did. There was another one. Fuck, this one happened really recently. That was a guy was just standing at a casino, and a part of a sprinkler fell off and bounced on the floor of the casino and hit him in the nuts hard enough that he went to the ER.
Yes.
Oh, man.
It's really, there was, actually, okay, now you got me started. Now I'm fucking, you've pulled the cord.
Please.
There was, the one that came up most on the most recent one, this is like an injury from 2019 that happened where a guy turned up to the ER and the full, like, I don't know what you'd call it, but I guess text of the injury is so insanely specific, because it's like, he was at the ER because the patient had been, and this is all in the parlance of this injury. The patient had been at home at his girlfriend's house in his underpants, watching Comedy Central and laughing loudly, and girlfriend's dog jumped up because it got excited at his laughter and bit him through the underpants and put a hole in his nuts.
Oh, I wish we could know more specifically what he was watching. What on were Comedy you watching Central.
On Comedy Central?
I know, right?
Were you watching MXC? He was probably watching MXC. He's probably and watching having MXC. Like a great fucking time laughing his ass off.
Busting a gut and then hurting a nut to MXC.
That's right.
I was watching some MXC the other day.
Yeah, it's on your Plex. I watch it all the time.
Yeah.
That's my like classic filler. I'd be like, I watch some MXC. And then I'd be like, oh, wow, this one's just 12 minutes of transphobia because half the team is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A bunch of that. A lot of homophobia, actually. It seems even weird for that time.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I kind of feel like, though, given the age of the show, I kind of feel like if you could hear the real dialogue, there would also be loads of problematic stuff in there.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you know what the 100%. Japanese are like.
Oh,
yeah.
Do I? No, I don't. And I'm leaving that squarely on your shoulders, Ben.
Okay.
John asks, I think the question I'd like to ask is simply, how's everybody doing? Smiley face.
Lucy's sick.
I'm very bad. I'm very ill.
Lucy's got pneumonia.
I have pneumonia. I feel great. Now you guys go.
What happens when you have pneumonia?
It feels bad in your body.
Is it like your lungs are cold?
Blood comes out.
It's when you have like liquid in your lungs, right?
Yeah. It's,
and you want to keep that. You're mixing your wets and your dries there. And Tom, how are you feeling? You've got your impending nuptials.
Yeah, I'm getting married to my fiance, no less.
Oh, good choice.
Yeah.
Great person probably. To get married to.
Mm,
right?
Good choice.
That is, it is exciting. Now,
how much would it suck if you got engaged and everything, and then, like, maybe 2 months later, we arranged a marriage for you?
Oh, no. Oh, and I wouldn't want to turn it down because I don't want to be rude.
No, you don't, do you? You don't want us to turn around and say to Debbie.
Do you want to seem ungrateful?
Tom says no to you. He says
it's because you're ugly. He said it's because of how you look.
Yeah. He said that we should pick you up and put you into a dumpster like Morris Day and Jerome in the movie Purple Rain.
Guys, no, I couldn't possibly have two wives. But if you insist. Oh, geez Louise.
I like that in a searingly good bit of improv, you're like, we need another name for another woman. Debbie.
It would make it easier for me.
You just mumble.
Debbie.
Like, hey, Debbie.
We are having a little... Well, there has been a slight hiccup with organizing the marriage. Not huge, but it has been... The actual act of, like, booking in the... Because we're going to do a registry wedding and then I'll do an actual, like, nice wedding with our friends. And the registry wedding has been pushed back because... Demi has changed her middle name and her birth certificate hasn't arrived in the mail yet, proving that her middle name is her middle name. And she has changed her middle name from Rose to Pizza. Because Rose was her grandma, who was a bitch, in Demi's words. And pizza is delicious. So that's why that. And It is a uniquely horrible experience to talk to a government bureaucrat and have them say, this is why I'm going to have to tell you to come back in 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Just being like a true, like, duh! You're saying that I need to get back on my unicycle and pedal away? There's nothing you can do.
Is it going to be after... The fake wedding with friends now? Well, not fake wedding. But you
I
know
don't
what I mean.
Know. I don't know. That's... Well, I think it'll be before, but who knows?
It kind of doesn't matter, though. It's the emotional commitment of the day that really matters. Who needs a piece of paper?
Not me. Mm. Actually, I need several thousand pieces of paper if they're of rare or mythic rare quality or higher, is what I've decided.
Okay.
Those are actually of incredible importance to me.
I'm sure no one that listens to this podcast can empathize with that in any way, shape, or form.
It was your fucking Discord that got me back into it. I hate the cunts. God damn it.
There.
I was just looking at that being like, maybe I would like to own a little thing.
I love going into the tabletop section of our Discord and then nodding serenely at the stuff I like and then shaking my head at the stuff that I don't like.
It's really good, huh?
Dungeons and Dragons, sexy. Magic the Gathering, vulgar.
I really like Magic the Gathering, but it is... That and, like, Warhammer are two very funny hobbies because you get to see someone, like, holding in between their little fingers something that to anyone else would be like, well, that is dog shit. And you know that is $500 Australian.
Yeah. Holy fuck, that's a limited edition Inquisitor model that you got at the fucking Golden Dragon or whatever in 2003. That's
a
nuts.
Shitty little guy. If that's what it is, it's a shitty little guy.
I love that people are getting into, and please stop me from talking about this for more than 30 seconds. Now that people are getting into like old Hammer stuff where they're like, no, I want the Warhammer where it was a single mold. Mm. The guy had no moving parts and every Space Marine was just a guy making like Y arms.
Mm.
And he had a really tiny little head and it looks like dog shit. And everyone's like, yeah, dude, I just got a whole squad of second edition Ultramarines. It only cost me $700.
Yeah, awesome. I got a bunch of shit that sucks and is old. Pretty cool, huh? And you have to be like, yeah. Hey, man, whatever. Yeah, for sure.
I've been getting not into it. I'm not spending any money on it, but I am coming around on the opinion that like how all the old Warhammer stuff was just really bright primary colors and it looks super stupid.
That is
really amazing,
cool.
Actually. It's cool as fuck.
Mm. I have a, to answer the question of how I am, I'm still thinking about the podcast that I was talking to you guys about before we went live on the record.
On the air.
Yeah, which is the What the Cuck podcast by The Geeky Cuckold.
You didn't tell me it was called What the Cuck.
It's called What the Cuck, and it's What the Cuck, !! I think I found this genuinely because I just searched The Geeky Cuckold, thinking that this had to be the handle of somebody somewhere. And I found him.
You lathed of heavened it. I bet it didn't exist until you searched for it. And then universe provided because of the positive energy that you put out.
And
the
I'm going to say, I don't think anyone else has listened to his podcast but you.
Have we got listening stats? There's got to be... What's his platform?
He's on a few things. I'm looking at him currently on Audible. I know he's also on Apple Podcasts, but he has put out 2 episodes. And... The first one he did because he was inspired to start the podcast after guesting on his Bulls podcast, the podcast of the man who fucks his wife. Then the second episode apparently includes the first installment of the segment Famous Cuckolds of History. Kind of pipping you all to the post there.
Once again, I'm turning the big dial back to sex negative. So we've got one person with pneumonia, one person who is about to get married and is strangely fixated on cuckoldry.
It's just to make sure that I don't like it. It's just to make sure that I don't want it.
How would you know you don't like it if you avoid it, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah. I'm over here sniffing the smelling salts.
And Ben, how are you?
How are you doing? Oh, I'm great, thank you. I'm doing very well. Sorry, I'm reading this guy's blog. And
stop it.
Did you see the phrase horizontal mambo?
Missed that in there. I'm seeing that he felt the need to write about Jerry Falwell Jr. Getting outed as a cuck.
Okay. Yep. Well, whenever that kind of stuff hits the news cycle. And is this we're all on thegeekycuckold.wordpress.com?
WordPress is a wonderful free platform that you can use to host all manner of blogs. I think he's using a sort of
absolutely perplexing headline across the main banner image there, where you do uppercase go to read the articles. As in is this a joke about the old print format of Playboy?
Yeah.
Have you seen the about page? Because on the about page he is not obscuring his identity enough. He has put a sticker of a bandit mask over his eyes. And if that is his intention, he's given away a little too much.
It's
clearly like a professional headshot that he's kind of...
Yeah.
That's his LinkedIn photo with that over the top.
It is,
you know?
I like the post where he's really mad about a cuckolding definition.
Jesus Christ, yeah, like Tom, there's a link to his Twitter account, at The Geeky Cuckold.
Just look at that. That's wonderful.
Currently protected 15,000 followers.
Yeah, yep. Do you see the bio there? brackets, inactive, professional reasons.
Had to stop tweeting. I mean, tweeting. It was getting in the way of my work.
Yeah, because it's not like it could be a, oh, I can't have people looking me up thing, because it's not like you would be doing anything else under the name The Geeky Cuckold that wasn't associated with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so Ben's good?
Yeah, I'm great. I'm tremendous. I'm thriving.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing really well.
People say cucks don't fuck their wives. Cucks belong in cages. Or yep. One I saw today, which was cucks don't orgasm, masturbate, or get hard without permission. Who deputized you, random Twitter denizen, as the keeper of the cuck?
Yes. Yes, yes. I've been saying this.
Yes. Mm. It is true that cucks sometimes don't fuck their wives and are sometimes kept in cages.
Go off, cuck.
Go off.
Oh, and here is his wife's profile and a bunch of videos of her getting fucked. Cool.
She hot?
Cool. I feel like I know a lot about this guy all of a sudden.
Ask if someone's wife is hot.
Yeah, you can't, and you definitely can't answer that in the chat. So it's not like on audio, but maybe we can see it via text.
Yeah, if someone could just give us like a little opinion or a photo just for ourselves so that we won't say it out loud. Because I don't want to judge these people and their lifestyle. Obviously, her being in videos getting fucked is a very fulfilling and lovely thing for him. And I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And for her.
Anytime you want to post in the chat whether or not they look like what you'd expect or whether they're bodies, I'd love to know very much.
The Geeky Cuckold's wife is a 10 out of 10 smoke show.
Oh, unbelievable. This is like one of those videos where it's, you know, it turns out that the nerdy guy you just bullied is actually a millionaire. Those Facebook videos that are all fake. Well, it turns out the Geeky Cuckold's wife is...
But the Geeky Cuckold's wife, brackets, who he doesn't fuck, by the way.
Oh. Turns out he was wearing a nerdy guy bodysuit and he stripped it off and he's actually a big muscly tank.
And my favorite thing about cuckoldry, being in the lifestyle, is that you can make fun of them for doing it.
Yeah, because that's good.
Because he loves it. He loves, like, if you all like, wow, this guy is a little bitch and some handsome guy is fucking his wife. He's like, oh,
you better handsome guy fucks my wife. Yeah.
Describe it to me more and in like meaner terms. I think that's very nice. We all get what we want from the situation.
Yeah, positive outcomes.
Mm. And to close it out, John, I am doing well.
If you could stop hogging the spotlight, we're trying to talk about cuckoldry. just come on.
Talk about this guy's wife.
Yeah. Mm. Trying to get some intel on the wife.
We got this guy shouldn't have a podcast. Wife? He should be producing the podcast of like his wife and the bull.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's obvious goal for him.
Yeah. Be like, hey, there was some really unpleasant sibilant S's in that master that you sent me. So I'm going to go fuck your wife and I want you to fix that. Fix those sibilant S's.
Well, you're good at this, Ben.
Yeah, you're really good.
A little too good. Here's another letter. Hi, Bunters Vistas. It's fun. It's fun how every single one of these has a different way of addressing us. Hi, Bunters Vistas. I'm genuinely curious what your overseas listenership is like. As an Ohioan, I'm always tickled and then immediately depressed when I hear something about Ohio on the show. Surely there are others just like me getting their local news from you. Dozens of us even. How many Midwesterners are tuning in for their weekly news update from y'all?
So many more than you would think.
It feels like a ton. Every time we're like, wow, this thing happened in a town in Indiana.
Dog shit city, Indiana. They're like, I'm from dog shit city.
Like, oh, that's just around the corner from me, actually. We get that shockingly often. And not that many people listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, enough that we would have a worldwide ring of people that are like everywhere.
I'm just looking at some stats here, drilling into the stats. I didn't actually finish reading the letter. Also, is the show popular in the Netherlands? I'm dying to know. Peace and blessings from Grace.
We have three Dutch listeners that are vocal about it. There might be more.
They're making a big deal.
Maybe there's some silent.
I put my headphones in my ears. Delicious. To the podcast.
They are by far the most patient and forgiving people on God's green earth.
They are. They truly, you push them so far.
In the past 30 days, the Netherlands is the eighth most listened country. Most listening country.
What? Let's list off that top eight.
All right. We could even go top 10 if you like.
Nah.
Running out of time.
Number one, the United States of America, I believe.
Large and in charge, baby.
Yep. Number two,
Australia. We're number one, baby.
Good on you, Australia. Number three, Turf Island, the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, Canada. You guys ever heard of
Canada?
Good
to see
you.
Makes big sense. Fan.
Big fan.
Number five, New Zealand.
Wow.
That seems very disproportionate to the population size of New Zealand.
It do. Number six, Germany.
That's
very surprising.
That's crazy.
Cannot be true. There is absolutely no way that is correct.
Is it all the Australians that live in Berlin?
But not hundreds
from
of them.
Melbourne that moved to Berlin to live in a warehouse and
right.
start doing
yeah, get it.
Weird like found sculpture art. Oh, look at me! I wear culottes.
It's really fucked up to think about an Australian living in Berlin.
There's so many of them. They all moved there.
I moved here for the art scene.
They actually moved there to do pingers.
Yeah,
and
they moved there for the drugs.
Yeah, because there's lots of drugs and you can ride your bike along Friedrichstrasse to the warehouse that opens at 10 in the morning. You can go do a bunch of drugs and then hang out with a bunch of people like, yeah, I'm an artist. Yeah, the rent's so cheap.
This completes the roast of Australians in Berlin.
Yeah, if you are German and you're listening to this, first off, guten Tag. please. Get
Good
in
Morgan,
contact.
Even.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Whatever time of day that it might be, use the appropriate greeting for you. Tell us that you listen to the show, because there just can't be that many. We're not really getting comments from people being like, well, I live in Germany, and this is simply not correct.
Hello!
Hello, I am one of the piss trough guys.
Forgive any typos. My phone is ever so wet. Sent from the trough.
Number seven, Sweden.
Oh.
Yep.
I feel like I'm off the top of my head, I can think of one Swedish listener that we have.
Well, they don't all write in to say, hello, I'm Swedish.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. This sounds...
Sound like bullshit?
It sounds fake, but okay.
I reckon it's people with VPNs or some shit. No, they wouldn't have those on there. You're not listening on your computer. That would be freak behavior.
Number eight, the Netherlands. Number nine, Ireland. And number 10, India.
India?
Well, yeah. India works out statistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
there's
got to
be some people accidentally
some.
Loading the page, right?
Although, no one from China.
Not in the top 10, no. We've further down, we've got the Republic of Korea, got South Africa, we got the Czech Republic.
South Africa?
I just feel like these statistics maybe are sometimes bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But what are you going
to do? You know? Good point.
What the fuck do you expect me to do about it?
Yes.
So, to our knowledge, yes, we have listeners in the Netherlands. As to whether or not one would describe it as... quote unquote popular? No. I'm not brave enough to do that.
No. I think most people don't have the mental fortitude to listen to us get every single detail wrong about something that they know about without tapping out.
Reducing them to kind of an offensive version of their culture.
Yeah.
Just picturing a Dutch person like turning up to your Discord, just sending a photo of themselves in blackface, being like, check it out.
I mean, that's a joke.
I can do this. No, you can't, but I did.
No one is stopping me. I'm in public.
Deleting the image. Still wearing it. Woohoo.
Woohoo.
So, you know, make of that what you will. Because we... find SoundCloud statistics very questionable. Now, here's a question that I think is going to set Tom's world on fire.
Hmm.
Right? I think you're going to have an opinion about this.
Okay.
Hi, Bunters. Hard ER on the end of that. My wife and I are in our 30s, and the next door neighbor is a 20-something college student. She and her boyfriend are out drinking a lot and keep late hours. They don't make noise or anything, but once or twice a month, we'll get a Grubhub order of McDonald's delivered and pass out before it gets there.
Hmm.
We live in a row home.
Huh? So we, like a boat?
Like a terrace house? Or?
Yeah, I'm wondering if that's like a...
It's probably
we live
not
in a
boat.
Rowboat.
Yeah.
I am Tom Finn. Tom Sawyer. Oh, no. Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn.
Like a caravan?
Yeah, it looks like a terrace house. They're all ass to mouth.
Like you didn't get that wrong.
Okay.
So it's just saying I live in a house.
Well, the houses are all
a house that's in a
together.
Row. I see. R-O-W.
And you don't live in a rowboat.
Yes. You are living in a... You're living in a architectural centipede, if you will.
Okay.
We live in a row home in scenic Philadelphia, so we share a front step, and that overnight fast food is just sitting there on our doorstep when I take the dog out in the morning. My question is, would I be a nasty little rat if I ate the abandoned McDonald's? My wife says she would leave me if I did, but I think she is bluffing and would love your input. Thank you, David.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's test that wife.
I also don't believe your wife. I think your wife is a fucking liar, David.
You know what? You should leave her.
Yeah. She's not letting you be you. Yeah. And sure, you suck and you're disgusting, but get on all fours, tear the bag open with your teeth. They're not going to stop you if they find you doing that.
Public health organizations worldwide are probably going to be so mad at me in the quote tweets for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I think 99.9% of the time, if you ate that, you would be fine.
Yeah, 100%. McDonald's.
It's cooked food. Who
cares? Definitely, the thing we're talking about here is like an ethics thing rather than a health thing, right?
Oh, so we're all to say as a given. It's no question.
It depends on the time frame, not the next day. You can't eat it the next day.
Yeah, you can eat it the next day.
You can eat it the next day. It's been in a bag.
Time is cold.
Tom, do you think the question is it okay for you to steal the McDonald's?
Well, that is it to me because I would eat the McDonald's no problem if I was given it.
Right. I mean, my issue outside of this is just that the only time McDonald's is good is when you receive the McDonald's over the counter and the food has been cooked recently.
It's already fucked up if you're getting it delivered. Yeah.
Like sometimes, I am generally very fucked up by how frequently, and I can only determine this by seeing things that people say online, but I'm very fucked up by seeing how frequently young people get McDonald's delivered. Because my kids say, should we get McDonald's delivered? And I go, no, because it's very bad. By the time it gets to you, everything is like room temperature. The fries are very sad and sweaty. They've lost all their crunch. There's nothing good about it anymore.
I would say that you're absolutely right. It would be a substandard experience. I wouldn't enjoy it.
Yes. But that's my problem.
That's
my problem.
I'm taking the entire thing
in
my head. Yeah. No, it's gone. As soon as, if this was like not even a question of ethics, if someone walked up to me and said, hey, I've got this bag of McDonald's I ordered, I would even go so far as to say 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. I ordered this McDonald's 2 days ago and it's been out on the porch.
Wow.
Do you want it? And I'd say, no, but give it here. And I would...
Oh, I'll get rid of it for you.
I'll put it in the bin. You need
put
to go.
Put in my bin.
You need to go right now.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
One time I was really hungry and I was walking to work. This is not a recent story, so basically it's like a different person, so you don't have to connect it to me in any way, shape, or form. I saw those little like 99-cent Hans salami sticks, little strikers. Saw one of those on the ground and it was sealed in the packet. I was like, meh. Probably nothing bad will happen to me, and I ate it. Just picked up.
Did anything bad happen to you?
No, it was absolutely fine. And it tasted delicious.
So an angel looked down and shook its head.
Not today.
Look, that amazingly heat-treated sulfite-filled.
Oh, they're shelf-stable. Mm. I don't even know why they pretend to keep them in the fridge section. Like, we know what's going on.
Yeah, it probably would have been better for you to actually eat, like, a dog turd off of the road. Like, just chemically, nutritionally, the dog turd would have been better, and you damaged yourself more by eating that. But I appreciate... One time, I was at, like, a Japanese restaurant with a friend, and we just wrapped up our dinner. And then, like, the party near us had left. Tell me if I've fucking said this before.
Mm-mm.
Okay, the party near us had just, like, they'd left, and they were, like, a big group, and they had, like, they'd left what I view as, like, an S-tier Japanese food item, which is the teriyaki chicken skewers, and they'd left, like, two of them on the plate.
I've absolutely done the same thing, taken someone else's leftover chips.
I ate both the skewers. I, like, just picked them up and tore them off as I was, like, getting up to leave.
That's perfect. That's fine. Yep.
And then, then when I got outside, I saw that they were all actually smoking cigarettes. And we were the only people on the second floor of this restaurant.
Fuck!
And so, and you know, you leave knowing the amount of teriyaki chicken skewers that you have left, you know?
I mean, you're suggesting that they can count to two.
I think... In that situation, if that had been, it was a table of two next to you, like a small table, and that had happened, and then you saw them smoking outside, you could feasibly be like, look, I feel like such, this is going to sound insane. I thought you guys left. I picked some of your food. I'm so sorry.
Against food waste.
Let me buy you another plate of those. But you can't approach, let's say, a group of eight people and be like, one of you guys.
Yes.
I just ate your chicken skewers because I'm a fucking grub.
You got to be aggressive. You got to lash out at them and be like, you're a fucking idiot for leaving it there. You're fucking stupid for leaving your chicken on the table.
And for what? For a cigarette?
For a cigarette?
For a dirty cigarette?
You're so desperate to die, you had to run out here leaving that chicken where anyone, any good person could pick it up and eat it?
Any humble angel.
What if I was starving? Would you be that mad at me? What if I was dying?
Already full. clearly already full. My empty plates being cleared away by the same staff member who comes and is like, well, I guess that must be done.
So did you just,
hurting, Tom says to himself, well, waste not, want not.
You just walk past with like history's filthiest conscience?
Yeah.
Or did you just walk past being like, ah, oh, fuck it?
Yeah, no, absolutely the latter. Yeah. I was like, well, that's funny. Yeah. That's funny to happen to them.
Okay, look, as a counterpoint to this, right, I understand... No, I understand what Tom is saying about how, like, there are some times where you kind of want to say something, but it just doesn't behoove anyone, right?
Yeah.
I was out with my lovely wife on the weekend, and we were trying to find some outdoor furniture, right? And so we'd been around to some places, and then we went to, like, a factory outlet place, you know? With a bunch
Okay, so you walk indoors to find it. Let me find the error.
I have to go. and so we got around a few of these joints, and it's pretty busy, and I was like, I got to go to the bathroom, right? And the bathroom is like down a long hall. You know, sometimes in a mall, there's like a long hall you got to go down to get to the bathroom. There are people filing down there, right? There's like too many people going to the bathroom. And I'm walking down there anticipating, like my spider senses are already gone, right? And I get into the men's bathroom, and there is, so there's three cubicles, right? And then on the other wall, there's like three urinals, three individual style urinals. And I come in, there's one person waiting for the cubicles. I also require the cubicle. And so I wait behind this person, right? Middle cubicle opens, a gentleman comes out, the man in front of me goes into the middle cubicle, and I take my place at the front of the line. A minute or two later, the third cubicle opens, and a man comes out with a look that I can only describe as sheepish, guilty, right? He comes out of the toilet cubicle doing something I do not normally see someone doing, which is also pulling the door closed behind him as he comes out of the cubicle.
Oh, no.
Right? And I'm thinking to myself, Oh,
well, I got to see what's in there.
He's been a nasty man in there. Who knows? Who knows what's going on, right? But you got to do what you got to do. I go into the third cubicle, and I am presented with something I've never seen before in a men's public bathroom, which is a feat, I will say. I used to go to nightclubs, you know? All kinds of stuff going on in there. Instead, I am presented with a toilet seat with an adult-sized handprint of shit on the toilet seat. Imagine you put your hand in some paint, and then you put the paint hand on a big piece of butcher's paper.
Shit.
But it was human shit.
What did this guy look like?
So I told this story to Eleanor afterwards. I came out and met her in the food court, and I tactfully waited until she had finished eating her Subway.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
We should have told people to finish eating their Subway before going on with this podcast. Should have told them at the start.
They know by this point.
And she's like, well, some people have disabilities. And I was like, this guy looked too guilty to me. He looked both very able-bodied, and he looked so conscious of whatever the fuck had happened in there.
What went on in there?
There are invisible disabilities. Does anyone, Ben, I do challenge you to take a punt at what you think made this happen.
I couldn't understand the physical mechanisms that would lead to this, let alone what potential causes there could be that would lead to that situation. But I do want to come across as the non-judgmental person on the podcast. So just think about those, okay?
Yeah, you're right.
Now, for the record, I stood in the cubicle for, I'm going to say, 2 to 4 seconds. And then I came back out of the cubicle and I said to the young man who was behind me in the line, I cannot do that in there. And I just took my place at the front of the line again.
Oh, wow.
And I waited till somebody else came out and I went into the middle cubicle. And I felt like strangely relieved to just be met with a foul smell. You know? And then while I'm in there, somebody goes into the third cubicle and I hear that brave soldier start tearing off toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, no. You could, like...
A bit of wee, maybe. I'm not...
Yeah, there's a big difference between, like, yeah, some spots, a bit of this and that. Then
so you're saying it was a handprint on the bowl?
No, on the rim?
On the seat. And then there's, like, just a handprint kind of, like, blam.
Like blam. As though somebody had covered their whole hand in human shit and had then... open palm gripped the side of the toilet seat like a basketball.
Huh.
Okay.
I cannot fathom.
On the right hand side, or you know, on one of the sides?
I'm going to say,
looking at the toilet and it's a clock, what hour?
I am standing in the doorway of the cubicle looking at the toilet. The toilet is facing out towards me as a toilet will do.
Regular toilet
regimen.
And imagine if one day you walked into a toilet and it was facing away from you.
What have you got to
what
hide?
What did I do?
Oh, coquettish today, aren't we?
Playing hard to get. So I'm going to say it's at like a 5.
Okay.
You know? So as though they had right hand grabbed onto the toilet seat. I was like, how?
Right hand from the front or left hand from the toilet seat.
And okay. We know that there was toilet paper in there because you heard the sounds of the next person tearing it off.
Yep.
That's crazy to me.
I just couldn't. It was a real mystery that I frankly was not willing to tackle while I was in there with it.
Yeah.
I had to debrief with some other people.
How long was the person that you saw...
I came in while the door was locked. They could have been in there for, maybe they were in there, maybe they went in and they were like, oh, I just need to pee, so this is not a me problem, you know? Maybe I'm blaming the person who came out and it wasn't even them. I didn't see them go in, you know? I wasn't able to see the condition of the cubicle before they went in or anything, so all I can do is go off the evidence I've been presented with, and in this case... So a very guilty-looking gentleman pulling the door closed behind him.
Well, because whoever leaves that there, even if they didn't do it, they see it there and then they walk out.
Well,
they are going to be just as sheepish because they know that you're going to think they did it. They're not going to walk out of there and be like, I didn't do that, by the way.
But this is exactly my point as to Tom's point.
Mm.
Even if you can't walk out of there and say, that's not my shitty handprint on the toilet.
I think I would. I think I would. Short circuit the anxiety in my brain because I'd be overthinking how do I walk past this guy normally so much. I just have to be like, I didn't do that. I walked in there and it's a nightmare.
I didn't do that. And just so you know, it doesn't taste good.
It would have been funny to come out and hit me with the old shaggy, wasn't me. Glide off.
Everyone would laugh. Everyone would stand up and clap.
Very comical.
Yo, yeah, from before.
And the zoomer behind me would have said, what?
What? I'm too busy.
That's Chuggy. That's Chuggy, you old fucks. They probably would have said to me.
Yeah, probably.
So, you know, that was... And then I was in the office. I was in the office yesterday. And I went to the bathroom, which has two cubicles in it, not three. Mm. And a thought that briefly crossed my mind while I was in there and somebody else was in the other one was like, a cool thing about working from home is you can go to the bathroom and you don't have to hear another human shitting while you're...
Yeah.
You can just really use your own bathroom and there's no one else in there with you, you know, also taking a dump.
They should make it so there's absolutely no way to identify who else is in the bathroom.
Mm. Like, yeah.
Stalls all the way to the bottom and the top.
Yeah.
Also separate sinks. There shouldn't be communal bathrooms, I think, as well.
And
I'm
also
saying.
Maybe sometimes you should go into the... You should be encouraged to go into the cubicle just to hang out for a while and then leave.
Yes.
So then you never know if someone's shitting.
Yeah, it's completely randomized.
Yeah.
I once I was staying with a friend and he had this woman he had a crush on staying with us also. And she was like very, very beautiful and very glamorous. And then she took the stinkiest shit I've ever smelled in the toilet. And it was a small enough place that we all, like, while she was shitting, we all had to leave.
Oh,
and
no.
Like, we all left the house and then didn't go back in until we went to like a nearby store and bought matches.
You never want to come out of the bathroom and find that everybody has evacuated the building.
I mean, yeah. Perhaps
it's the rapture.
I don't want them to stay in that situation, certainly. I think you should do someone a courtesy. Let's say you have a guest staying in your home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here for Brisbane Comedy Festival or whatever, and they're here for like a week. This All is right. not leading into a story about you shitting. This did not happen.
yeah, no, I did bad things at your house, but they were all just hiding their copy of the game.
Yeah, friends of mine found the Austin Powers car that you left here the other day while they were also staying in the spare room. Judd That's now, who listened to this podcast actually. But like, I think if there should be a way to signal to the person that's staying with you, oh boy, I'm going to be watching some real loud TV for the next 20 minutes or whatever, but then they need to signal to you that they're going to shit first.
Yeah.
Hmm.
My solution to that is to simply shit outside.
Yes.
In a bathroom that I found. But I'll simply go and like pay the tax of like purchasing something at a nearby cafe or bar.
Yeah.
And then doing some ungodly stuff in that toilet.
Yeah, I definitely really heavily utilize the bathroom at a McDonald's in Japan to avoid just how small the apartment was and the friends
small.
I was staying with through that. Yeah.
So I guess to answer the question, Phil, I mean, David, we think you should eat the McDonald's.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably tasty. And what else have you got going on?
Hey, here's a question. Dear Bunta Vista and Tom, if you had to choose one liquid to spurt from both of your index fingers, what liquid would you choose? Keep up the good work from Tom. I'm assuming that's not you, though.
God, I hope not. I think liquid-wise, it might be ice-cold water would be like way up top in terms of like just convenience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not calm.
Yeah, this leads.
Yeah, probably not. Everyone dismissed that. From your mind, even though it's the first thing you thought of.
Mm-hmm.
What use do you have for it?
I was going to say like maybe ketchup and mustard, but then I reread it and realized that they specified it was one liquid. So I assume it was one liquid that has to spurt from both fingers. I don't get to choose one each.
So that disqualifies it for you? You won't have ketchup or mustard. You just want ketchup and mustard?
I mean, that would be way more useful.
Yeah.
Twice as useful.
So, yeah, no, I guess the other question it raises for me, Tom, is that if you were to spurt ice cold water from your fingers, is that coming out of your body in some form? Is there like a reservoir that's being used up, or is it just spontaneously generating? Because if so, you could do a lot of like desert trekking, you know, you could do a lot more kind of bushwalking and not worry about getting lost so much.
Yeah, I think we're indulging the fantasy that I don't have to think about my body having like a desalination and cooling plant.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you know, it's terrifying. It's horrible to think of me just sitting at the computer, you know, shooting water from my fingers as I wither down into a husk. So I think I would go with, oh, actually, shit, cum.
Yeah, yes. The thinking man's choice.
I don't know what you'd do with that much cum. I barely know what to do with what I have.
Tupperware containers, jars, yeah. Like what everybody else does.
I keep chucking it at the wall, but sometimes it eventually falls off. Blap.
Ben, how about you?
Ice cold beer, baby.
Of course.
That's a way better answer.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Printer ink. Yeah. I don't know how you'd monetize the printer ink one, because you'd also kind of have to have a way to, like, you can't just be like, hey, come around and fill up a jar of printer ink and then take it home and use it.
Yeah, you're right.
And like, it's not like you could go to Epson or whatever and be like, hey, you pay me and I'll top up your vats.
We will kill the boy.
Probably liquid gold is probably smarter.
Probably.
Yeah.
Look, you've probably considered this one before, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, that's crossed my mind. Haven't people hit me with that before?
Look, this question, this format's pretty old at this point. Would you rather fight 10 duck-sized miniature horses or one miniature horse-sized duck? I think they're all really killable, in my opinion.
That is a real classic of the would-you-rather
genre. Hot dog sandwich, so on.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I could kill all of these things, personally.
Yeah, but I'd feel, I don't know, ducks are scary. Because if a duck is the size of a horse, a duck only needs to be the size of a goose for me to be very afraid of a bird.
Miniature horse, though.
Oh, miniature horse. But isn't that the size of a goose?
Hang on, so you're saying that if a duck was the size of a goose, you would be scared of the duck?
I'm saying if a duck was a goose, the goose would be scary.
Yeah,
because the goose is still scary.
I think partly what makes geese scary is their awful attitudes.
Yeah, they have a different attributes to the duck. The duck is more benign than the goose.
Only because of its size. If you give the duck power, see how it handles it. Do you see the way the duck acts over things that he has power over? This is not a creature free of sin.
Do not give the crown to the duck, for he will become evil. That's quite interesting.
Absent-minded king throwing it into the pond with the breadcrumbs. Ooh.
Uh-oh.
I'm wearing a crumb.
Babe, did you crown a duck? Did you crown a duck king?
Did you coronate a duck?
Quack. It's already sitting on the throne.
So it sounds like you would rather fight duck-sized miniature horses. You could just step on them, honestly.
Yeah, that'd be so easy.
I would rather do that than fight 10 ducks.
Miniature horses, as they are now, they're born dying, you know? The duck is an efficient creature. The miniature horse is a crime.
It's been a week or two ago, Eleanor and the kids were away for a week. And I just spent the evening sitting there and going, what do I do now when nobody's here? So the answer was I watched a whole bunch of old professional wrestling. So what can I do that normally everyone would tell me to stop doing immediately?
Hell yeah.
Watching old pro wrestling. And but I was watching some newer pro wrestling as well. And they had a new like Nigerian pro wrestler who I had not seen before, who was like 7'2". I cannot remember the guy's name.
Omos, maybe?
Or Omos? Omos? Yeah, that's him. Yeah. That's him. And I was struck by the fact that he was a very, very gigantic pro wrestler, but he was also like proportionate and just moving around regular style.
Mm.
And I was like, that's very impressive because all of their old giants.
Man, I saw a video of, what's his name? The great
Khali. Oh my God. The great Khali was barely like he moved like a zombie.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Locked knees the entire time.
Yeah. And you watch like older like battle royals with Andre the Giant in them, and he's just or like tag team matches. He's tagging someone and like slowly getting into the ring, and then he like kind of shuffles over there and does this big slow bop onto someone.
It's not enough to be big. Like, you still have to be able to move. It's a very physical sport.
Mm. Well, and also just being that big seems oh so bad.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, despite their size, they are also the miniature horses of wrestling. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Love and on it. That note, I think that technically constitutes an episode of the podcast Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us behind the paywall, where Tom will get no sort of exposure or anything, which is the only currency that's exchanged in the podcasting world.
Fine by me, baby.
Tom, where can they find you?
They can check my shit out at fucking
thegeekycuck.wordpress.
Yeah, I couldn't get thegeekycuckle.wordpress.com. You know, it's a crowded marketplace, but I believe there's room for us all. Check out bigsofttitty.png and twitch.tv/TomWalker. And there's some edited streams up on YouTube as well. And I'll be fucking posting on TikTok and shit and all that shit.
Yeah.
He's living the
twitch.tv/TomWalker and bigsofttitty is the main ones, I think. Because TikTok sucks.
I'm pretty sure that every single person, that there's no one that listens to this podcast that I don't think already doesn't listen to and watch your shit, I think, at this point. But yeah. Hey, if you're that one person, you should check him out. He's a really nice guy.
Check it out. Really, if like it's not for you, yeah. Hey, fine. Yeah, no, you're right.
No, hey, if it's not for you,
have a good time.
We don't want you either. If you don't love what Tom does,
yeah, Tom won't
get
say
the
it.
Fuck off this feed.
Tom won't say
get
it
because
he's too nice. If you don't like it, fuck you. You're wrong.
Yeah, fuck off.
Wow.
We'll refund every payment you've ever
made
to this podcast.
Whoa. I don't respect anybody with taste that bad enough to give them money. Get the fuck out of here.
The perfect out. We'll see you on the free episode. Have a lovely the next 3 or 4 days if you listen to these the moment they come out.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.